Goodwill Toward Men, that's the title of this evening's sermon, Luke chapter 2, verse 14, the words of the angels. That's now the one angel who had been the first there to appear and speak to the shepherds out in the fields, now joined by a whole multitude of the heavenly host. And this is their message, part of their message, goodwill toward men. Lord of hosts, he stands behind these hosts. They do his bidding and are there at his command. And they're giving his message, just as Gabriel, when he spoke to Zacharias in the temple, told him that he, old, his wife, old, is going to have a son, call him John. And when Zacharias stumbled at that, he said, I, Gabriel, stand in the presence of God. I have been sent to declare to you these things. And so these angels have come from the presence of God to declare these things. And our Saviour's death, well, he explained that had he wished to escape from the arrest, trial, crucifixion that awaited him, he could have called for and would have received the help of more than 12 legions of angels. But that was not the way that we could be saved by doing that. But here at his birth, we have, well, how many legions of angels, I wouldn't say, but angels, plenty of them, to proclaim his birth. And so our first heading is this, good news from heaven. Good news from heaven. That's what Christmas is telling us. Good news from heaven. That is the announcement from heaven to earth. God sends this multitude of angels to proclaim his glory. That's what angels do, isn't it? They're proclaiming the glory of God. As we are here, they are there in his presence, and glory to God in the highest. And to us on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Well, what will earth shout back to heaven? What message can we issue back to heaven? Sadly, it isn't glory to God in the highest, is it? And more often than not, it's bad news. That the cry that goes up from the earth to heaven is a sad cry. Bad news. And, well, you open the newspaper, bad news, isn't it? So that fills up the first however many pages of most newspapers. Bad news of death, the pandemic, what it's doing. Viruses mutating, other illnesses, troubles, trials, situations, sadnesses that people are experiencing, crimes that are being committed, and so on, and so on, and so on. That's so much that is cried back to heaven, speaks of cruelty and injustice and inhumanity and in large, large quantities. That's been the history, really. And the future, unredeemed man, will be the same news being relayed. And for many people, Christmas is like a chance to have a little anesthetic and to be able to just switch off from the troubles, switch off from the bad news, and just anesthetize ourselves against it and eat a few extra things and maybe do a few different things there. Of course, not everything that people do at Christmas is good at all, but some things, harmless fun, whatever else, and just to blot out all the rest of it, knowing that January is around the corner, the news that's coming in January, the moment when we stand here doesn't look overly encouraging. And that's really the message that goes up from earth to heaven. It's really rather a sad message and a rather gloomy message. Although actually, if we're then pressed further, perhaps, we would say, well, no, we're doing okay. We're doing okay. We don't really need heaven's help in this. We're fine. We'll fix it. Artificial intelligence, we'll fix it. Travel to other planets and we'll fix it there. And we'll be able to get round this and get round that problem. That somehow, despite what is kind of being communicated outwards, that no, we're doing okay. And there are books to try to help you to do it a bit more okay, and to self-improve and try a bit harder with certain things and relax a bit more, and mindfulness or something like that will kind of cure the problems and get you about right there. Except we find it doesn't really change the heart. And for all of that, and well, we know people there who do all of the relaxation that there is, and the statues of Buddha in the garden, or whatever else it is that's meant to exude this sort of calm. And some of those people, well, they'd start an argument with their own shadow. That actually it doesn't seem to have given them peace at heart. That hasn't happened there. No, mankind, really, summing up, is not especially good news. It hasn't got much good news to relay back to heaven, to relay to itself, and philosophies and efforts to kind of think about ethics and think about being good. It's one thing to think about it, it's another thing to do it. So it doesn't always quite work out as people hoped. So it's good to have good news, to announce good news. Not that earth has got this good news to announce to heaven, but that heaven actually has good news to announce to us. And it comes from the highest authority, doesn't it? From the Lord of Hosts, the one who commands angels, makes them ministering spirits and flames of fire. And therefore, if it comes from God himself, the highest authority, and he is proclaiming to us through his angels goodwill to all men, then we can really sit up and take notice of this. If you have permission to do something, and that permission has been given to you by the highest authority, that royalty, it's a free pass, and you can travel through, and nobody can challenge it. Well, I can remember traveling to Spain once, and speak at a conference out there, and well, I had a free Spanish Railways pass that came with this thing, and I looked what I was, as postgraduate student, and didn't look too much like a diplomat or any such thing, but when I produced this pass, my word, the rather sceptical looking ticket collector, I think I thought, this is one I'm going to chuck him off as soon as I can. With a great flourish, there I was, told to enjoy, well, I imagine he told me to enjoy my journey, didn't speak much Spanish and he didn't speak much English, but I took the smile as being an okay permission, got permission here, and someone on it, the Minister of Transport from Spain, said, give this man right on the tray for nothing. There we are. Or a royal pardon. Then you get a royal pardon. It's worth it, isn't it? It's just the royal bit. You've been pardoned by the sovereign, the law, kind of maker of the land. If he, she's given you a pardon, then you have a pardon. And you are able to walk tall, as it were, out of the court. You're free, out of prison, if that's where you've been. You've been pardoned by the highest authority. It's worth something. And so when good news comes from the highest authority that there is, well, it's worth everything, isn't it? Because from the perspective there, that is God's perspective, and that perspective is eternity, why, everything about it is good and is reliable. Because the one who speaks it has limitless power. Limitless power. So it's one thing to say to people, well, no, stay safe. I can wish you that. I don't know whether you will stay safe. I can't sort of bat away every illness from you, or make sure your room's kind of heated up to the right temperature, or make sure that, you know, you don't trip over at home or anything like that. I can't do that. God's power is limitless. He can fulfill these things. And in saying it, his knowledge is infinite. But he knows the future. And if he declares goodwill, then he's already taken in all time, all of space. And that's some perspective that he's got. That's infinite knowledge. And wisdom. Profound wisdom. Depths of wisdom. Well, how can we have goodwill brought to us? There's so many things in the way, aren't there? No, wisdom finds a way that all of the troubles and all of the obstacles and will fulfill its purpose. The love with which it's spoken, we'll talk about that again in a moment, but it's boundless love. It has no limit to it. It doesn't exhaust itself. It's not, wearied by stupidity and folly and everything else. It just gives and gives and gives. And when we think, well, this is remarkable, we've talked about royal pardons and courts and justice and such things. Well, the court of heaven and the courts of justice there are very, very forbidding places. At London, see the Old Bailey and the various courts that there are there, and it's quite an impressive building, quite an impressive place. And I imagine some people went in thinking they were going to tell what they were going to tell, and got somewhat daunted by the whole atmosphere of this, and the courtroom, and all of the people sitting there in deliberation. Well, that's nothing compared to heaven. What a forbidding court that is, which has perfect record of everything, all the wrongs, all the thoughts, everything that is there. But then, if from those courts it is given by way of decree, a verdict is published and said, these people have no case to answer. That's worth everything, isn't it? If the court of heaven says goodwill toward men, that's worth everything. That court is so exacting and so precise and has such a record. Then it doesn't have to rely on witnesses who might not quite remember what happened there or what they said then. It's absolute recall of everything. It's so penetrating into all of our hearts. But if that court is satisfied, and if it says there's no case to answer, that's worth hearing. That's goodwill. That is. And that justice and mercy and righteousness, which are all there in God, they're part of his character. And if these are all working now in harmony, and all are saying there is no case to answer, there is goodwill, then we have found all that we need. And of course, this isn't just an announcement based on nothing, as though a court can just decide, well, we just want to do this thing, let justice go, or just let this decision ride. Because, of course, the good news is in Jesus Christ. That's where the goodwill really finds its whole energy, and it finds, as it were, its underpinning through him. He is the good news. He is the one that brings the goodwill. And that's why it needed such an announcement, because this is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. This is no ordinary arrival. One angel would not quite suffice to show the significance and the wonder of this and the meaning of it, not just for them, but for all people, isn't it? This will be to all people. And so you have a host of angels to announce this. And angels, as we read in the Bible, at other times, other places in that way, speak somewhat figuratively here, the book of Revelation, that it will be judgments, that they're announcing judgments, trumpets sounding, announcing judgments. Not here. Today is the day of salvation. This is the day of grace, to understand and receive good news, and to hear of the goodwill of God toward men, and to believe in it with all your heart. One day, yes, God's patience has worn out, and the time has gone. The sands of time are sinking, and one day God will say, no more time, no more can I wait to show goodwill to people who simply don't want to believe it, just want to throw it away, discard it, say it never happened, or I don't exist, or whatever I did, whatever my son did, it doesn't really count for anything over much. No more time for them. The bad time is not yet, and we're still here to hear good news and hear what the angels brought, good will toward men. And you get an idea of that the shepherds were the people hearing this, such ordinary people. That's so often what we comment on, isn't it, with them. They are such ordinary people. But this isn't a message just for the wealthy and the rich. What communications take place between powerful people, who knows what negotiations and discussions happened away from the
the media there behind the Brexit deal. We may never know. Maybe the books will get written up in 10 years, 20 years, I don't know how many years' time. And we'll have a bit more insight. There's things happening outside of our domain. Important people telling important things to each other. We don't hear that. But does that matter? We're hearing the best things for us to hear. They're for ordinary people, anybody. And not just for a select few, for kings, for queens, for those significant kind of people. Good news from heaven. My second heading, goodwill. Just to think a little bit further on this goodwill. And if you like, it's heaven's smile, isn't it? There's a hymn of Newton, isn't it? It says, justice smiles and asks no more. Justice, which would require of us, actually, in stark terms, death for sin. That's what we were thinking about a moment ago. But then we answer that by our Saviour coming into the world and doing absolutely everything that is necessary to answer our need. Absolutely everything. And to bring to us such assurance of his goodwill, to make it unmistakable. Well, how for these shepherds here that, as we were thinking, shepherds quaking at the sight. Well, do not be afraid, is what they were told. Do not be afraid. You might rightly fear God. You might rightly fear his judgment, and the severity of it, and the exactness of it. But no, fear not. We have an answer for you. There is remedy. There is relief for sinners suffering under the burden of their guilt. And this child that is born, this Saviour that is come, doubt not. Do not be afraid. The message is reinforced by the number of angels that are proclaiming it. So we say that in the Lord Jesus, in his coming into the world, there's no catch here. There is no catch. There is no small print, no terms and conditions that make actually this not to be such an amazing gift after all, or to somehow detract from the value of it. That's when you were younger and you know, opened something. There's the presents. Wow. Nobody read the small print, you know, batteries not supplied. Didn't work. We had to wait for the shops to open. We had to buy some batteries, Boxing Day, whatever it was. No, there's no small print. There's nothing that actually needs something else. It needs you to do something. You've got to provide, as it were, the energy for this. It's a bit inert, this gift, a bit like our illustration that needs batteries to make it work. And you've got to provide those batteries. Until you do that something, it just doesn't happen. It doesn't do anything for you. No, you don't have to think of that. It's all looked after. Why, even our believing in this gift, it's all looked after. And our repentance and our being able to stay with him, that he doesn't just save us for a day and then leave us, that he holds us and he will hold us. It's all been looked after. All the details, every last part. This goodwill has no catch to it. Nothing that can sort of, it's going to break down at this point. Or, it's not so good as we were first told it. I know, in fact, I think most of us who are believers will say, it actually gets better and better. The wonder of it doesn't diminish. It actually increases through time. And it's all in his hands. All of it. And think of that as you would have looked at that tiny baby, that fragile child wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. It's all in his hands. Well, infant mortality rates, we're glad to report, aren't we, in our own sort of culture and our own healthcare and midwifery and knowledge. Well, infant mortality has been greatly, greatly reduced. But of course, that's not always been the situation for really most of the history of mankind. Many infants would die in just their first few days and the mother die with them. You could think of a hundred reasons why this child might just not make it. And of course, we know what follows next and how hot on the heels of the birth you then have Herod
and his soldiers tracking down all children under the age of two round Bethlehem to kill them. That's fragile. It's a baby to him. Parents warn to take him to Egypt and to flee. And they follow that command. The child is safe. Only when they think the ground is clear and the Lord tells them where they're to go next, then they find their way finally back to Nazareth. But it's so fragile, so vulnerable. Really, can this child support the hopes of mankind? Can God's goodwill really just rest in this fragile baby, this vulnerable child needing the care of his mother? Well, the answer is, it's all looked after. And he's under safe passage. He has an escort to take him. Why, of course, not to a palace. He's got to go to the cross. But he'll get there. And nobody's going to kill him prematurely, catch an illness prematurely, not somehow lose his way, suffer an accident or anything like that. He'll be protected, safely ushered through to that final conclusion. Nothing is going to get in the way. There's no catch to this. There's nothing that hasn't been thought of. And it is, isn't it? This goodwill requires his death. It's unavoidable. It's absolutely unavoidable. There is sin, brings death, that's the penalty. Well, a saviour then will have to bear that penalty himself, on behalf of them. It's inescapable. We can't protect him from that. We can protect him, and God will. There will be preservation. Eaten by a wild animal, die in an accident at sea. No, he's going to be preserved. He'll come to that place. But he will not be preserved from death. He will have to endure it. And that is where God's goodwill is, that there is your salvation. There is one dying. There is the shedding of blood for the remission of sin. And it's him. He will do this. And he will do it so well, so perfectly, and so totally, so finally, that there'll be nothing else needed to be done. No other sacrifice will be required. And he knows that. Knows that. He is, as the baby there, so the second person of the Trinity, knows everything. Well, as the man, well, that still is something that is beyond an infant, a baby, needing all the things that babies need. But as he grows up, increases in wisdom, as that perfection, that perfect humanity absorbs all that needs to be absorbed, shapes him through obedience, learning through suffering, then he is able to come to that death, already agreed to it, fully agrees to it in all the steps of his growing up and his developing manhood, and then to the cross he goes, knowing what it will cost him, but knowing that, and only through that, will that true goodwill, that favour of God be found. Can we be declared righteous and find God's mercy and love? Oh, and love it is, isn't it? This is just full of love. This goodwill. It is so freely given, so freely offered. It's unrestrained, it's unconfined. And it is given in a way that God is so pleased to do this. There's no reluctance or reticence about it, or when some people perhaps give us something sometimes, and you say, well, do you really mean to give us this? And perhaps the person who's given it might think, well, do I really mean to give you this? Yes. No, you keep it. Yeah, that's right. But they might just wonder, well, I think I might miss this, actually, or well, that might have been used for something else, now you mention it. There's nothing of that hesitation in God. And he really gives his son to be the saviour to his people. It is that good gift. And he's absolutely sure that he wants to do this. And his son is absolutely sure that he will do all that needs to be done and endure and go through all the experiences that he needs to go through with it. And the goodwill, well, it goes with us everywhere. If we've discovered this and found him, that's what it's about. It's not finding a religion or finding some rules. We can't sort of give you a rule book here and follow all these things, and that's it, you're a Christian. You find a person, you find him,
And not the baby in a manger, but you find him, yes, on the cross, raised to glory, actually in heaven now, you find him. But once you found him, found that goodwill, Christian conversion, had that, then it just travels with you everywhere, doesn't it? It just keeps going with you. The goodwill doesn't stop, doesn't end when you become a Christian, when you're born again, but it just keeps traveling with you. It goes with you throughout life. God's goodwill toward you. And you wake up each day with hope, even if that day is filled, actually, humanly speaking, with a lot of difficulty, with a lot of things that are going to be hard to cope with and decisions that are tricky decisions to have to come to. If you've got real burdens, real concerns, and life-threatening concerns, maybe, well, the goodwill is there. And it travels with you everywhere, every experience, whatever you and I have to face, whatever we'll have to face this coming year. We preach our end-of-year sermons, beginning-of-year sermons. We're back to have a look and see what I said at the beginning of this year. I didn't quite tell you all. I think, oh, there's a pandemic coming, by the way, and we're all going to be wearing masks, and we're going to have to open the windows in the winter, and tell you a remarkable lot of things. You'll probably look back and then say, man, you're telling us this? Can this happen? Is this going to be? Well, we don't know, do we, what this coming year is going to bring. But it, in a way, matters not, the goodwill, God's favour toward us, that he is present with us and his smile is upon us. That will go with us into this next year as this year begins to come to an end. Not church bells ringing in our ears, but his goodwill, the message from heaven ringing in our ears. This knowledge, this news, the angels praising God. Later on, the shepherds are glorifying him and praising him. And that's actually the testimony of believers too, who have discovered this goodwill that God has toward a fallen people through his Son. And we are compelled to agree. This is such good news. And it doesn't wear out, and it won't ever end. And it will take us. And we're talking about this, weren't we, earlier there. And it will take us, as it's taken our friends, on into life eternal, beyond this life eternal, this side of the grave, the opening up of something even greater, better, and more unimaginably good. And all of that is part of God's goodwill, his peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Is that goodwill something you've tasted and seen yet? Is that something you think you ought to taste and see? Because it's offered here, really offered, and we are to repent of our sin and to believe it with all our heart.